Like, I used to have to walk to get up studio at 6 in the morning. The city belongs to them at that hour. It's ours for the other hours, but prior to that, they are running, crossing streets, driving cars, selling pretzels. It is their city until the sun comes out, and that's when we're allowed to come out.
Welcome to Highly Questionable, ladies and gentlemen, where now you know when the rats run the streets. L. Duncan and Dominique Foxworth, the Rat Master. Let's go.
Are you more or less impressed with DK Metcalf after he finished last in his race this weekend?
All right, so DK Metcalf spent 3 months training to try to get to the Olympics in the 100-meter dash. He was at an event this weekend. It's like the trials for the Olympic trials. We got him right here running. And, I mean, you got to understand, he's running really fast and way bigger than the other kids. But the thing is, these dudes are just faster, man. Like, am I impressed that he was able to run and be close to finishing, not last in it? In a way, yes. However, this is what some of us kept trying to tell y'all. This isn't shade to Metcalf. This is shade to the rest of you. I understand that football players are your heroes. However, these dudes who run for a living, run for a living. They are really, really, really fast. And those right there weren't even the fastest dudes in the world. They were just the fastest people in that stadium. So good for Metcalf that he's crazy fast. I'm not impressed or not impressed. I'm just looking at it and hoping everybody understands the next time you are just so sure that your favorite athlete could get out on the track and beat somebody. Nah, man, if they could, they'd already be out there.
Thank you. Can the LeBron could be a linebacker right now in the NFL crowd. Shut up now. Can we just be quiet? I blame firmly all of this on USA Track and Field, because after he chased down Buda Baker, they started tweeting and getting cute. And this to me is like when you sort of in passing ask someone like, how's your day going? You don't really mean for them to tell you their entire day and their sob story. And this just evolved into something I don't think they saw coming, because DK Metcalf saw that tweet and was like, you know what? I actually think that I could do this. So was I impressed that a guy who wasn't even a flat sprint runner in high school, which is, by the way, the last time he ran, did that? I'm impressed by that. Am I impressed by the fact that he was actually a hurdler in high school and that his high school coach said, DK Metcalf ain't fast enough to hang in the 100-meter dash? Yes, I am. I am impressed at what this was, a stunt. But as far as thinking that he was going to go in there and actually do something, that is completely insulting to the guys who literally do this every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything that you guys said is right, but this was good for USA Track and Field. I don't think they regret it. Like, we watched this event that we would have watched otherwise. We show this clip that we would have shown otherwise. But I do think I was somewhat impressed, because like you guys, I respect people who do something for a living. So I thought DK was going to be, it was going to stand out. Like, we're going to be able to pick DK out in that group because he was far enough behind that it looked odd. He was right there with them. The only thing that looked odd was he looked like the size of two or three of them tied together. That was the thing that was unusual. Next time he runs, they need to give that man two lanes because he is wider than all those guys. But that was somewhat impressive, as just to come out of playing a season, spend 3 months training, and then run 100 meters and be close enough that if you showed that clip to someone who doesn't watch sports, they wouldn't pick this guy out and be like, oh, that dude don't belong. That was impressive.
I'll tell you this. Honestly, the most impressive part of this to me is there was a chance for him to be embarrassed, and he did it anyway, right? Like, there was a good chance that he could have gone out there and looked absolutely silly in the course of it. And that's something that maybe he knew going in, because you guys can block those kinds of things out of your mind. But even still, a whole lot of us, myself included, really try to avoid doing things that'll get us embarrassed in front of millions of people. And he rolled the dice on it. And I'm no sarcasm, that is the most impressive thing of all for me.
I mean,
certainly
did
more impressive than my ability to navigate this.
I was going to try to ignore it. Wow. I didn't know whether to lean in.
I didn't realize I was trying to give like a real metaphor for life, you know, and things for people to hold on to in a significant way. And little did I know, Elle's ears were falling out.
I can't even. Am I impressed by DK Metcalf? Yes, because I can't even put in an earbud.
Didn't you like rip off your eyelashes last week and now your ears are falling off? Like,
it doesn't say left or right, Fox. It doesn't say left or right.
Should Jordan Love hope that Aaron Rodgers stays or leaves?
All right, so The Athletic did a story where they got quotes from Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, and Matt LaFleur, the head coach, and nobody seems to think that Jordan Love would be ready to be the starting quarterback for the Packers in 2021. Like, it's reasonable to a degree. Gutekunst makes the point they did not have a preseason. The offseason camps and stuff have been a little bit different. So he's got a long way to go in order to get there, except every single quarterback who has been taken in the first round since the rookie wage scale came around, They were ready to start by year two. Well, I don't know if ready's right, because some of them actually were sorry when they got out there in year two, but the team was ready for them to be the starter in year two. It's year two now with Jordan Love, and they seem to have no idea what it is that they have. It would be much better for Jordan Love himself to not play this year, because unless he goes out there and looks like Aaron Rodgers, he's going to come out here looking like he wasn't good enough. He could exceed all of our expectations. But if Aaron Rodgers is somewhere else lighting it up and Jordan Love is still looking like a question mark, which is reasonable for him to be, that's all bad for him. He needs to hope that Aaron Rodgers comes back. By the way, I have no idea what Jordan Love looks like. Like, Jordan Love walked in here right now. I know nothing. I know some of y'all don't even know he's black. Y'all didn't know Trey Lance was black until the draft.
What are they watching? I guess they just heavy readers.
Where would you watch Jordan Love? How am I supposed to see him?
I mean, you watch the draft, but Jordan Love is fine. Trey Lance been on TV for the past 3 months. Yeah. I feel like you got to know at some point. You know who knows? I guarantee Green Bay Packer fans know. I'm sure that they know the race for their starter and backup quarterback. And for that, and that's not the only reason, but that's part of the reason why he better hope that Aaron Rodgers comes back. Because not only will he be following an MVP season, the expectation will be NFC Championship or Super Bowl, because the two previous seasons, that's what happened. Then you put on top of it that he might be somewhere else. Aaron Rodgers might be somewhere else, taking that other team deep into the playoffs. That is a terrible situation. You are going to have to be Patrick Mahomes or something close to it. Otherwise, they are going to hate you. And they are already ready to hate you, because Brian Gutekunst don't look like you, don't act like you. And I think they already hate my man Lil Goody for the decision that he made.
I don't need young Goots or even Matt LaFleur to tell me any of their coaching cliches. You know what leads me to believe they don't think Jordan Love is ready to start this year? He didn't dress for a single game last year. He wasn't even good enough to be the backup. So yeah, that tells me whatever Goody is saying, whatever read between the lines, throw out cliches thing that Matt LaFleur is saying, the proof is right there in the pudding. I blame young Goots. Lil Goots, whatever you want to call him for this, because as you know, Fox, a big part of what you're doing in the front office is managing egos. Okay, Aaron Rodgers has been your quarterback for 16 years. You didn't think that he would take unkindly to moving up and drafting a quarterback in the first round after you refused
to
extend
him.
You
had
to, but if you knew that, then you had to have known that at some point, the fact that Aaron Rodgers didn't pull this last year, right, gave you at least a year reprieve to get him ready. The idea that you would do that, not consult with Aaron Rodgers, and then also say he's a 2 or 3 year project. You know, when John Elway drafted Paxton Lynch, it was nonsensical. But at the same time, who was ahead of him? Trevor Siemian? So the fact that he was a 2 to 3 year project made a little bit more sense, although it really didn't end up making sense in the long run. But Aaron Rodgers is coming off of an MVP caliber season. So yes, for Jordan Love's sake, okay, for Packers fans' sake, and for young Goot's sake, they better hope Aaron Rodgers tucks his tail between his legs and comes back. I'll also say this, though. For Jordan Love's sake, he better hope it's not him coming back on an extension, because otherwise, his days in Green Bay are numbered.
Is David Griffin right that Zion is being officiated unfairly?
All right, so Zion Williamson is done for the year with a broken finger. David Griffin got fined $50,000 for criticizing the officials, and this is what he had to say.
I'm really frustrated because this was avoidable. We told the NBA through every means available to us, through sending in film, through speaking to everybody in the officials department, everybody in basketball operations, that the way they were officiating Zion was going to get him injured. And quite frankly, he's injured now because of the open season that there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. He has been absolutely mauled in the paint on a regular basis, to the point that other players have said to him, I'm going to keep doing this to you, because they don't call it. So there is more violence encouraged in the paint against Zion Williamson than any player I've seen since Shaq. It was egregious and horrific then, and the same is true now. We failed. We did not protect him appropriately. We did not make the message clear enough, because this was avoidable.
All right, now, there is a part of this that seems to be a bit of a reach, which is Griffin saying that this was a wear and tear injury. It is a broken finger. I have not heard of a broken finger being a wear and tear injury. But the gist of his point, there's something to it, because I don't know what else you can do to guard Zion other than hack the hell out of him. It doesn't leave a whole lot of options when a dude is that big and that quick and can get to the basket at will in the way that he can. People are going to wail away at him. But the thing about it that's a bit odd is this is the day and age where I thought that we just weren't letting people wail on folks like that anymore, right? Like, there was a time where this would just be the defense that Zion would have to face. He's shooting 8.7 free throws per game, but that number probably could be higher, because if you watched him, he is absolutely unguardable. And the technique the team seemed to have started using is, we're just going to have to try to lay into him.
So there's an addendum that I would like to make to the good GMs that – what they're saying, those players, when they're saying, Zion, we're going to keep doing this to you, because they don't call it what he means, is we're going to keep doing this to you because you won't do a damn thing about it. Because he brings up Shaq. Shaq was unguardable too. And I remember it was like 9 or 10 years in where he was finally like, all right, like, this is starting to become a bit much. At the same time, I understand that I am unguardable. I understand that I am so skilled. I am so big. There really is no other option for these defenders besides to maul me and attack me in the paint. And you know what Shaq did? Shaq made sure that the punishment he doled out was proportional to the punishment that he was taking. At the end of the day, you got to pay the cost to be the hoss down in the paint. This is how they do it. We keep talking about how Zion is a generational talent and he's unguardable. So this is what happens, Bo. You said it. If he's unguardable, they're going to employ any tactic they can to stop him. And until he starts dishing out and putting the bully in bully ball, it's going to keep happening to him.
All right, so I know not to play basketball with L. Duncan. I don't feel like dealing with this type of, this level of aggression. You're throwing them bows. But I feel like David Griffin isn't talking to the media. He isn't talking to the NBA office. He's talking to Zion Williamson. Like, that's, to me, feels like this was a $50,000 gift to Zion Williamson, because he's not trying to get the calls, because he's not going to get them for the rest of this season. And he's already sent whatever letters or videos that he wants to send. He understands that the pressure is high down there in New Orleans, and the happiness of one person seems like it matters. Keeping Zion there, he's the one who matters. So whether the fouls are going to change or not, I think you're probably right, L, is he's going to have to, or they're going to bring someone in who's going to have to police this situation for him, because the players aren't going to stop doing it and the refs aren't going to start calling it, because it doesn't affect him the way that it affects other people. That's why Shaq got fouled so much, because you slap him and he doesn't move. It's hard to call a foul when you don't see that type of reaction. Zion doesn't strike me as the type of guy that's going to be out there throwing bows or fighting people or doing those sorts of things. So somehow someone is going to have to regulate this. Too bad Charles Oakley is a little too gray.
Yeah, now, L, I do have to say this, though. You're correct. Shaq could dish the punishment back out, but that's easier to do playing as a postman than Zion starting off in the perimeter, unless you're going to be out here hitting him with the Heisman going to the basket. You can't really do it. I would also say that when it came time for Shaq to give a message, he didn't actually dish out the punishment. He just showed us that if he wanted to, he could kill a grown man, and that grown man was Brad Miller.
Yes. Up next on HQ.
I, too, remember the first time I saw a true New York City rat, and the rat was this big. It was as big as a cat, and it was dead in the trash.
Do you question if you believe Francisco Lindor?
All right, so Jeff McNeil and Francisco Lindor seem to have a bit of a confrontation of sorts in the tunnel, if you get a look at this right here. Oh, okay, so something happened. Somebody felt the need to break it up. Now, Mr. Lindor, what was going on back there?
What exactly happened in the tunnel there?
Steve, it was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man.
I was mad on the field because I didn't make the play. So that's why it probably looked like I was angry. And then Jeff, obviously, because I was going against him, whether it was a rat or a raccoon, of course, he's going to be mad.
He's going to be mad because you were debating whether it was a rat or a raccoon?
Yeah, man.
All right. Okay.
So I was believing him at first because he looked so pleasant in the course of talking about it. And then it got to that last part, and I was like, wait, that part doesn't make any sense at all. But, hey, if the Mets are out here fighting over rats versus raccoons, oh, man, that is a team that the New York Post will love.
Towards the end of that first clip, he sold it at the end there. with another. I think it's something to the effect of, you know what I mean. That's what I heard. When I hear nah mean or something to that effect, I know you're telling the truth. Good job, Lindor.
I believed him at first because I, too, remember the first time I saw a true New York City rat. And the rat was this big. It was as big as a cat. And it was dead in the trash. And I remember thinking, how bad is that trash that that giant cat rat died from eating it? It was insane. So I don't totally believe him. But also to Bo's point, I think it's pretty symbolic of the Mets season when they're fighting either way over rats and raccoons.
Yeah, I just want to know, like, what was going on with Elle's life when she was digging off in the trash?
Yeah. I wasn't digging in the trash. You know, in New York, they leave the trash out. It was trash day. There was trash everywhere out on the front stoop.
Oh, it was not in a trash can. It was
it was just a pile of trash, and he was dead on top of it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's very New York. All right, I'm all in now. I believe you now more than I believe Francisco Lindor.
Do you question if Jimmy Butler was too mean to Kat?
Okay, so Jimmy Butler really doesn't like what Karl Anthony Towns stands for. Like, it's a fundamental distaste. This isn't just that I used to work with that cat and I don't really like him. He does not like Karl Anthony Towns, like, entire constitution. And I know Karl Anthony Towns has had a very difficult season, right? A lot of very serious things have happened to him. We wish him the best, but we are not Jimmy Butler. Wow. You're a loser. I already punked you once. Show me the lotto.
Maybe just because you, Bomani, say this all the time is like, just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. Like, I don't get the point at this point. Like, I understand if you're on the team with Karl Anthony Towns, maybe you are trying to push the right buttons to get this beast mode to come out of him. Why is Jimmy Butler doing this other than what you led it with? Like, he just hates the essence of Karl Anthony Towns, like the root. And I guess on the floor, we normally don't hear things like that because the crowd or whatever is there. And we aren't as offended by it. I, as a football player, certainly am not offended by the trash talk. But I was left felt a little bit like, oh, like leave my man alone. Just let him ball.
It did have big kicking a puppy energy, right? Like, that's what you just said, Bo, he's soft. You just said, he said, show me the lie. He's soft like a puppy. Listen, I can yell at my four-month-old baby until I'm blue in the face, stop being a punk, be a man, don't let your sister slap you in the face. It doesn't matter. He is incapable of doing anything about it. So, yes, Jimmy Butler is trying to get under his skin because he knows that Kat's not going to turn around and slap him in the mouth. If you would have just slapped him in the mouth the first time, he wouldn't keep doing it. But Jimmy Butler knows he's not going to. It's the definition of bully.
But see, at some point, you're responsible for standing up for yourself. And by the way, Karl Towns did it with Joel Embiid. He finally had to fight that dude because he kept trying to pump Karl Towns all the time. This, to me, is the worst part of it for Karl Towns. And once again, why Anthony Edwards is quickly becoming maybe my favorite player in the NBA. Look what happened after the game.
Karl, there was microphones caught you and Jimmy having a little conversation at the end of the game. Were your emotions running high at that point? What was kind of going through your head as that game came to an end there?
Man, they grown men, dog. They be just talking, having a regular conversation, if you ask me. I mean, if y'all come to see us compete, it's no competition if we're not talking to each other. You know what I'm saying? So if whatever, y'all can take that with a grain of salt. Like I said, they grown men, they having a conversation. It's regular conversation.
Anthony Edwards has been there for like 6 months and he recognized, yes, they are grown men, but this grown man cannot handle this. So allow me to handle it him. That's why we say it, L, you made it worse. Just like Anthony Edwards kind of sort of made it worse. Who is Anthony Edwards going to have to fight first in the name of Karl Towns? How long is it going to be before it happens?
Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, Jazz and Warriors.
All right, so this weirdo season has given us a great potential play-in tournament matchup between the current 7th seed in the West, Lakers, and the current 8th seed in the West, Warriors. Here is Steph Curry talking about the prospect of maybe playing the Lakers.
Think the league might enjoy Lakers-Warriors 7-8 in the play-in?
Oh, that's it.
It was a glitch in the matrix.
That's it. It was wild. I didn't like fully hear the question when he asked it, and I was hoping to get some clarification as to what it was that he asked. And Steph Curry offered zero of that whatsoever, because it don't matter. Whoever the Warriors play, what's the strategy going to be? The Bel Air Academy offense. Pass the ball to Will. Elle, are you intrigued?
Yeah, in the same way that Steph is, right? Like, I think he said that because it's like, huh, you think that the NBA is intrigued to name alone? Yes, but to see me without my Splash Brother, and let's be honest, a Warriors team that's going nowhere, and the Lakers with LeBron with a bummy leg and no Dennis Schroeder. Look at me. I'm so Atlanta. I said no Dennis Schroeder like that means anything.
Wow. It does.
I mean, it does. It does, but it doesn't. It does, but it doesn't. But sure, yeah, I'm totally intrigued. In name alone.
Oh, my gosh. I'm intrigued. I mean, just watching Steph play tonight against the Jazz, I'm intrigued about everything that he's doing right now. I'm willing to stay up late on the East Coast to watch that man shoot. And I know that doesn't sound like high praise, but that is the highest praise of all. And yes, I'm intrigued to see them in the play-in game with the Lakers. Even if they get smashed, just watching Steph shoot from all over the floor to keep up with AD and LeBron sounds like a good time.
Yo, and L didn't even say LeBron had a bum leg. She said he had a bummy leg. Like, you just going hard on everybody. All right, that is our show. Check out L Duncan on the 6 o'clock Sports Center. Check out Dominique Foxworth on Foxworth Fridays on the Right Time with Bomani Jones. It's a podcast. You should listen. It's The Rage. I said The Rage.
It's The Rage. The Rage. You're so, you're hip. You're rage. Very hip.